You're listening to the Motorsport Network podcast.
Welcome back to motorsport.com's review of the F1 movie. My name is Emily Selleck and I'm joined by Ben Hunt and Mark Mann Bryans. Now, we had a special preview screening last night just for media here in Canada. Can I get our first initial reactions?
You go first. I feel like I shouldn't go.
Well, apparently we were going to do five words. So okay. I was going to say good for non-F1 fans.
Okay, Mark.
Not good for anyone watching.
Oh, wow.
All right, now that's a bit of a preview of what we're going to get here.
Hang on a minute. Right, so you've already made your mind up.
I've very much made my mind. I think we're coming on to it later, but you'll understand that I've got a few issues with a few bones of contention.
Well, I do, actually. I mean, Emily, I mean, we were enjoying his little tantrum last night, weren't we?
Yeah, Mark was sat between us both in the cinema, so yeah.
I couldn't escape.
Look, let's start with you, Ben.
Yeah.
What did you think about the racing? Because that was really sort of the centrepiece, the showpiece, if you will, of this film.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has been made on the technology that's been used. You know, the director's obviously done some great movies in the past, and obviously the Top Gun filming sequence. They were looking to implement some of that technology and bring it across to Formula One. What they've actually done is got stuff which is even better. We've heard lots of talk about mounting points for cameras, etc. It's kind of out of our world, but you know, we do understand it. But what they've actually done is, yes, produced a very high quality section of racing scenes. And I think that F1 will actually use the technology that they've developed for the movie to improve F1 broadcast going forward. So that's really quite encouraging. I think the scenes that we'd watched were good, well shot. Maybe too much racing is one criticism that maybe we'll come on to. But yeah, no, generally I thought it was filmed and shot. The racing aspect was largely good.
Yeah, we saw it in IMAX as well, which I think is probably the best way to enjoy this movie.
You can't enjoy it. No, you can. I'm
all
joking.
Right, let's come to you then, Mark.
Yes, go.
Let's focus
How
on...
Have we got?
Let's start with the racing side of things because, I mean, Ben has given us sort of the positives. It all looked fantastic. The tech is really interesting. But tell us a bit about the storylines themselves surrounding the racing.
I think, and Ben's spot on, let's be honest, that is the one bit that is amazing. The tech they've used, obviously it's an Apple film, and we were speaking earlier on to some of the production team, and they said, look, we implanted, that's Leo Leclerc, we implemented, Apple cameras for that you'd see on your iPhone, yeah, just one like this, into cars so that we could film them as they're driving. F1 obviously let them do that. That's one thing that we should also mention. The access for that film was incredible, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Like,
F1 were really on board with it. Everyone's worked collaboratively to make that film. But there were, for me, there were quite a few issues with it. I thought some of the race scenes, whilst they look great, the story they were telling was quite unrealistic. It was a bit over the top. And I know the idea of this film is, if you've never seen Formula One before, you might start watching it now. But actually, if you do that, you're not going to be seeing on a Sunday afternoon what you see in that film. I think that's one of the issues. Another couple of things that niggled me slightly were, so Brad Pitt's lead character, Sonny Hayes, comes back to F1 after 30 years away or whatever it is. Again, very realistic. And instantly he's the hero.
Jumps in the car straight away, doesn't he?
Jumps in the car. He's almost on it straight away. He's the returning hero. But actually he's getting applauded all the way through for basically cheating. He's, you know, he's crashing into cars on purpose. He's holding up cars on purpose. If he was Max Verstappen, he'd have 12 penalty points already. And I understand it's Hollywood and that's got to be different. But if you're trying to then also immerse people into this world of Formula One, the checks and balances don't really work out for me, I don't think.
Does it matter, though, to the casual fan?
Matters to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you bring that up because we spoke to, as you mentioned, Jerry Bruckheimer and Joe Kaczynski this morning, and we sort of raised that issue and they said, well, this is for, you know, the general audience. But I do agree with what you're saying in that if a general audience is coming to watch this movie, they're introduced to F1 for the first time, they're going to assume it's this sport where everyone's kind of teetering on the edge of cheating. Is that sort of fair to
there's
say?
There's fireballs in every race, there's cheating in every race, there's overtakes. Well, we're not trying to ruin the film here, obviously, but overtaking from back to front in one lap, you know, it is unrealistic things. But I also think, and it's worth focusing on here, that the storyline and the story arc itself, away from the racing, is it fair to say it's quite weak? You know, there's a love story that doesn't really go anywhere. There's this story, there's quite an obvious story. Ben's had text off someone, let's not mention names, but they basically said, I've not really seen any of the trailers, but I imagine this is the storyline. And it was almost exactly what we were expecting, yeah, okay, wasn't it? Yeah. So I think that was quite a predictable. I honestly think, I know it wouldn't have been such a bombastic summer blockbuster if they'd have done a 10-part Apple TV series where they could, each race is an episode and things like that, they could have got properly into it. But if it was because it's had to go out as this marquee 2.5-hour film that's coming out over the summer that's going to bring people into F1, there's not much to love about that film, I don't think.
I think it's for a different audience, though, isn't it? And this is what we keep saying. It's not for us. And I think that we were being a little bit critical because that's just our nature. We are cynical. We're cynical Brits and an Aussie. And yeah, I just think we're just cynical and maybe we are giving it a bit of a rough time. But in the same way that Netflix also gets a little bit of a rough time for the way that it presents the drama and maybe over-dramatises certain elements, is that just not the Hollywood way? I mean, do people watch, you know, other films and go, you know, were you a pilot and if you watch Top Gun, would you go, that's not realistic, they need to do this?
But I think, getting back to the point of, I just don't think the actual story being told is particularly good. I think that's an issue as well. I mean, let's be honest, I imagine this will be, we're going to come on to it, this will make a lot of money and it'd be quite successful. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good film. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the people that I've spoken to about it that were in that screening last night would agree that actually the story almost was also lacking. Whether they thought that the race scenes might pull it through so they didn't have to focus so much on that. You know, Brad Pitt has been in so many films. He's, you know, loved the world over some of the films he's done. But even he, I thought a little bit, was quite wooden at times, whether that's the dialogue or whatever. But there was a lot of things lacking. I know, Emily, there were a couple of things that even, like, riled you as the Aussie.
Well, I mean, look, one criticism that I think is not necessarily linked to us being cynical is about how women were portrayed in the film. Now, obviously, I think there was a real effort, maybe coming from Lewis Hamilton, to highlight more, you know, minority groups. We saw quite a few women in, you know, technical director role, which obviously we've never actually seen in Formula One. But I think they kind of they went to this extreme and then kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit by having the technical director be the love interest.
Yeah.
And
instantly.
Yeah. And as you pointed out, I mean, she designed the car, the car's at the back of the grid. And then as soon as Brad Pitt gives his feedback, all of a sudden, you know, the car is flying. And similarly, we saw a member of the pit crew. Little Leah Leclerc cameo there. Look, we saw a female member of the pit crew just making really basic mistakes. And yep. I think, you know, it was obviously a great storyline in terms of her growth throughout the film. But did we need to have every female character kind of showing weakness, if you will?
Well, I don't even think that character had a name. It's cracking from I think the wheel gun girl.
She probably did, but you know,
wheel gun girl might have been her name. But yeah, it's just, it was just almost like they added another character in there, and it was just quite reductive, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think there were a few elements as well. Just on the side, there was, you know,
going over to the dark side.
No, I'm not coming over to the dark side, but I'm saying there was a lot of underdeveloped storylines, which is probably where the weakness was. It was. The focus is what we've been told is the authenticity of the racing scene. And it does seem like that has been the focus of making sure they've nailed that. And, you know, asking Lewis Hamilton to become an executive producer. So he was listening to it back and saying, you're in the wrong gear for this corner. And if you want to pull off an overtake, you need to do it here. You know, he was giving his racing advice, which is great, and that is what makes the film good. Yeah. But it was the storytelling and the other bits which were really weak. You know, you could really have dug into the two drivers' backgrounds and their relationship, but, you know, there's a similarity, a common bond that they share, in that they both lost their fathers at 13, but it's never developed or explained why that's relevant. It's just a shame that there's lots of elements like that which are left over. There's, you know, the main character is obviously a gambler, and he has this thing with these cards. He's always got a playing card with him. That's never explained either, and it's a bit of a shame that we're just left empty with those elements.
Yeah, a few strands that just didn't really go anywhere. I've written a review for the Autosport magazine, and in that I put, when you're introducing this whole fake world, and obviously the real drivers are in it, not as in it as much as I thought they would be, actually. There's not as many interactions with the drivers as I thought. But we're creating this entire team, Apex GP. And in that, there's a team principal, a technical director, a chief mechanic, the two drivers. that world of 2.5 hours all of a sudden is tiny for you to develop these characters that we're then meant to care about their progression through.
So what you're saying is you want another...
F2.
And we spoke to Jerry Bruckheimer back in Miami, and we asked about this, and he didn't rule it out. So,
yeah.
I mean, look, let's try and end things on a positive note. Any other takeaways from the film? I'll say I think the soundtrack was quite impressive.
I'd agree with that.
Anything else?
No, soundtrack was great, and it's definitely going to appeal to a much wider audience. And I think, again, the message which they're saying is the fact that it's kind of not for us, it's for the new fan, the American fan, and they are convinced after doing their test marketing that it will be a hit in the US, which is ultimately what, you know, they want to achieve and have that larger audience. And of course it's the funnel effect, and hoping that passes on to, you know, Formula One, and that fans will now start watching it as a consequence of that film. It's definitely generated interest. We're going around cities now and you're seeing the F1 logo. It's obviously called F1, the movie. Yep. So, you know, the assimilation of Formula One is going to be everywhere. You know, that's good. That's good for the sport. Even if the reviews are negatives like Mark, it's still getting F1 out.
I completely agree with that. And I know we're going to close here about talking whether we think it's going to be a success. And I think actually that's somewhere where we're all agreed, because it doesn't have to be a good... We know that from history, you don't have to have a good film to have success. It's got Brad Pitt, it's got a big budget, it's really well... It's been quite well reviewed in the early days that it's been seen. It's been in production for so many years that a lot of people know about it. It's coming out in the summer, which makes a big difference in the UK, of course. But it's here in America where they want it to be... Well, we're in Canada, I should do that again. North America. We're here in North America, they want it to be big. And I think it will be. You know, it's that kind of thing. That's the reason you go and get Brad Pitt to play the main character, isn't it, Emily? Like,
yeah.
It will be big regardless of what I say or what the reviews say or anything like that, I think.
It's going to make money, I think that's for sure. And as we said, it's not for us. I'm personally very curious to see what entertainment critics think of the film. But look, thank you so much both for your time. Let us know in the comments what you think about the F1 movie when you guys check it out.